Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day, another opportunity you are given unto us to assemble at your feet, Lord, to fellowship with men and women of like precious faith. We are grateful unto you for the week that ended and the blessings we receive from you, both in the services, in our homes, Lord, travelers, workers, and each one of your people in their various endeavors. We thank you for your protection, your blessings, your favor, Lord, unto us. Thank you for your healing hands upon the sick and the afflicted. We are grateful to you. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings we have received already in the Sunday school this morning. Thank you, God, for the worship service. Thank you for the special numbers. Lord, we look up unto you for more of your blessings today. We pray, Lord, that we condition our hearts that we might receive from you. Lord, give us discernment, O God, at all times, when we cease to listen to your word, to be able to separate and distinguish human being from when you are talking to us. Lord, that your word might profit us. Lord, that it might do our souls good, that it might accomplish your purpose in our life. Let it be, dear Father. Want to remember our pastor once again, back in Ghana. We pray that you continue to be his strength and make him a channel of blessing to your people. Lord, when you'll be returning back, oh God, may you bring him safely. You remember our team who will be returning from US to Ghana. We pray for joining mercies for him and his wife. Lord, we pray you perfect his earth to the glory of your name. Thank you, dear Father. Wherever the saints are assembled this day under this message of Malachi 4, Lord, in truth and sincerity, may your blessings come down. May you help your servants. May you help your people. While you are preparing your people for the rapture, don't pass any of us by. Lord, heal the sick and the afflicted again, strengthen the weak ones, O Father. May you increase our faith. Baptize those with your spirit and refill those already filled. Take us to higher heights, Father. When this service will come to an end, may we have recourse to give glory and honor unto you. Some of your children who have traveled, Lord, we pray that you will be with them where they are. Thank you, righteous Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you. You can please be seated for a while. Welcome ourselves to church in the name of Jesus Christ. God loves cleanliness. God's writing in the scriptures, even in the Old Testament. God told them in Deuteronomy that when they are moving about, they should have a paddle at the end of their something, that when they want to ease themselves, that they should dig the earth and bury whatever has come out of it. That's the scripture. They should bury it. That scripture. Say they should bury it. God said, because I walk in the midst of you, God doesn't want to see anything unholy. And that is God's order, both physically and spiritually. He loves cleanliness and holiness. So when we come to church, we have a good shower Sunday morning. Look for the best clothes that is not smelling. We put it on and then we come to church. In the Orient, the prophet told us in several sermons that there is an order in which they do their feast when they have to gather like this. They will have a foot wash flunky at the door who is going to be there with a bowl of water. And when you come, because they normally, most of them trek and say they are roads are full of dust, mixed with animal dung and urine, and that is what they use their feet to march, and the whole thing with also their outer garments sweeping that one on top of it. Say they smell bad. If all of them will gather in a building like this, the whole place will be smelling. In order to have a good atmosphere, what they normally do is that the person that invited the people is going to get a foot wash flunky, keep him at the door, and wash the feet of everybody that comes. And they are going to remove the sand that they come with, drop it there outside. They remove their outer garment and also drop it there. Then they will wash their feet to their leg, wash everything, all those smelling will be washed off. And thereafter, they will be anointed with perfume to kill those odor, so that they will not appear foul when they enter into the audience. Though we have the spiritual application, but they were doing it physically. But Abraham said they still do it up to today. Even though their means of transportation is now better, but nevertheless, they follow their pattern. And that is also, that's why we come to church with our best. Not because somebody have money. The one you have that is good, put it on. Before it fades, God will provide another one. If somebody is putting his own that is best on, say this man has money or this man has money, it's because he's following God's instruction. That one is God that provided it. When this one is getting away, so another one will come also. But if you reserve the best ones for the burial parties and weddings and the whatsoever, I don't know what good those places will do for us. May the Lord be our help. The prophet says several places that we should give our best to God. The Lord bless you richly. I say God bless you richly. Holy, 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 holy. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Ye that hath an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you. And please be seated. Well, for the past, I don't know how long now, we stay plenty on chapter 3. We are in chapter 4 now. The entire book is 10 chapters. The chapter 1 being the revelation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, the Patmos vision. Chapter 3, the Ephesian church age. Then chapter 4, Smyrna. Chapter 4, 5, Pergamos. Chapter 5, Thyatira. Chapter 6, Sardis. Chapter 7, Philadelphia. Chapter 8, Laodicea. Oh, I've jumped one, because chapter 9 is Laodicea. And chapter 10 is the resume of the ages. The other thing is 10 chapters. We are done with 3 chapters. This is chapter 4. And I don't know. I pray we'll be faster with the rest of it. It's because of acrobatics. The sermon is 7, Reverend preached 7 church ages. It was 1 sermon per night. Though this is thicker than the one he preached, because a lot of instructions were made into this. Nevertheless, I don't know. I pray the Lord will be our help. Alright, so we are in Smyrna church age. I will be starting with the introduction. After that, the messenger. After that, the city of Smyrna. Then the salutation, which I'm hoping we'll be able to finish this that I mentioned in this service, because they are short. And I will try not to drag it, the Lord helping me. The prophet said, in order to refresh your mind, I want to point out again how we arrive at finding the names of the messengers to the various ages. Now, there are people that doesn't believe in church ages. That they say that there is nothing like church ages. And that the letters were just written to 7 churches. And that it's written to 7 churches. It's meant for those churches. And those churches are in those locations. And it is finished. Well, the person is a bit shallow minded. And the entire scriptures, completely, like we had in the Sunday school, the only person in every age that has the authority to interpret God's word is a prophet, as the Bible itself said. He said, the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And we also have direct prophecies concerning this end of time, which some of them were mentioned in the Sunday school. But I just want to make reference to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, I think verse 19. Acts 3, 19, okay. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive. Now, as at this time, Jesus Christ was already gone. He has ascended. And Peter was telling the people that was hearing him to repent, that a time is coming when Jesus Christ will come back again. He said, but now the heaven must receive him until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The things that were spoken
by all the prophets from the beginning of the world. It is because those things have been lost. That is why the Bible is talking of restoring them. To make restitution and restoration is the same thing. It's because things that have been spoken, God's pattern that God laid down, things that must be, something has happened to them. That is why God is saying that Jesus Christ must remain in heaven until all these things that have been spoken from the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. That is why the message of today started from Genesis to Revelation. That's why we have clearer information of things right from Genesis. Before we come to this message, there are things we never understood in Genesis. Because you cannot ever imagine that a woman that is 90 years old, then that a young king of about perhaps 30 or 35 will still be lusting after the woman when he's not mad. We never understood. And up till now, there is no denomination that knows what happened in between. Somebody, when Brabham was saying that one, somebody was saying in his heart in the audience that in those days they used to be well stricken, they used to be old, they used to get very old. Brabham said, but the Bible said that they were well stricken in age. Before this action took place, they were already well stricken in age. That's one. Number two, Brother Abraham said that after this woman has grown to this age, that for her to be able to make a trip of about 300 miles to get her, he said it takes somebody that is very young to try that one. Then number three, Brother Abraham said, a woman of this age, where will she get strength to be able to conceive? Then number four, Brother Abraham said that where will she get the milk? Because everything, the Bible is, does God tell us? He said their body are dead. The body of Abraham was dead. The womb of Sarah was dead. If the womb is dead, the milk veins were dead. Where did it all come back fresh? Those things are not possible outside of this message. You just have to come inside to see what is happening. Like Abraham told us that a man went to forest lawn where himself happened to go to and saw the image of the crucifixion that somebody put in there. And he said that when he was looking at it, he said the guy told him that you can't get anything the way you are looking at it. As long as you are looking at it afar off, he said somebody else that comes here, they always criticize. And the person, somebody told the prophet that when I went there, I criticized, and then the guy told me that before you can, he said, come and come here, stay here, and then look up at it. The man said that his heart almost faint, he almost met. He said, because he was staying afar off. And as long as people are staying afar off and looking at the message, they will criticize it. But when you come close and humble yourself, you will see it very clear. You know it is very simple. All the scriptures, you will see things that it is not possible for someone to know this one from seminary. It's not possible. May the Lord be gracious unto us. Whether people believe in church ages or not, there is church ages. It's not only that there is church ages. You know, when Brother Abraham preached these church ages, and he drew this thing like this on the board here in front of the ages, Brother Abraham said that where people that were about 700 were sitting down, he said the pillar of fire came and went to the back of the building. And do what he do in front and do it at the back. And they were looking at it while he was drawing it. And he drew exactly what he has drew here. What the vindication do you want after that one? But like the idea does, that light is no good for a blind man. If you are trying to tell him that that light is very good, very bright. It's not, doesn't know what somebody says. No, the light is dull. Both of you, is just, you are telling stories. So may the Lord give us spiritual sight. There are seven church ages. A period of time. Brother Brown said, it is called the fullness of the Gentiles also. By Brother Paul. He said, this thing will continue like this until the fullness of Gentiles come in. And Brother Brown said, that fullness of Gentiles is another way of calling the seven church ages. And in another explanation, he said, it is a time that God is dealing with the Gentiles unto salvation. God has been dealing with the Gentiles from the time of Daniel. But Brother Brown said that from that time of Daniel to the end of the Gentile dispensation is called the times of the Gentiles. He said, but the fullness of the Gentiles is a time that God is dealing with the Gentiles unto salvation. There are two different things. He was dealing with them that time, not unto salvation. The issue of salvation coming after the Lamb was crucified. Amen. So this teaching of the seven church age, Abraham told us how he has to spend more time in prayer, read so many histories and the rest of it, and then the Holy Spirit came and led the way. And we know in the beginning we are talking about the key that God gave to the prophet, which he says is the most spiritual key. Is the most scriptural key. Is that God does not change in his way. He remains the same. The way he does something the first time is the way we continue to do it. Where you will find God, you can always tell. Look, naturally, like I was saying as preamble before I took off, there was a woman that came to the prophet. And she had a problem that there was like a divorce going to happen in the family. And the woman came to the prophet and said, I saw your home. It's very dirty. He said, your home is very dirty. He said, you go home, first of all, clean your house. Where there is dirtiness, evil spirits used to hibernate there. That is why you see mad people that they always stay in the what do you call it? You said, yes, donkeys and whatever. That's where they normally stay. Because that is where evil spirits hibernate. Yoruba said, there is an adage. Pe eya wulo. One of the ways to know that somebody is already getting out of his head is when you begin to see his load getting much and much and much. And when you go and examine those loads, they are valueless. Dumps. Useless. That's when you begin. There are a lot of signs that shows that somebody is already getting out of his head. Some people, you begin to see somebody that have low cut before. He begins to get bushy and bushy and bushy. There's an extent he gets to that if you have examined, you know that this one, something's already getting wrong. They won't go to the barber. You might ask me what about Professor Wole Soyinka? Is he in his right senses? He's a clean madman. He's a clean madman. Because he's operating like an atheist. And the Bible said that a fool says in his heart, there is no God. So you see, there are so many things that you can get answers to. There are some job that does not belong to God. That it is in the realm of human being. If you want to live normal life, naturally, you want to have good dream, clean your house. When you discover that you are having bad dreams, first of all, check out your room and things. If it is full of junk, clean everything out. There are some load in people's house for the past 20 years. They don't use it. And if you look at it very well, it's likely you may not use this one until Jesus comes. What is it in your house? These are junks of madness. Carry all those things and bundle them out of your house. How many clothes will you wear? When you begin to see your house getting to 200, are you selling clothes? know where to put leg. And so you will see your house in your face smelling. You can't have good dreams. If you have 10, 15 clothes that is neat, it's better that you have 100 that no head, no tail. You put this one on today, so odor. You put the other one today, so smell. People see you begin to reverse. May the Lord be our help. This is a part of the gospel. Oh, sure. Every area is part of it. We just need to pass Tyker today, maybe. Oh, sure. May God be gracious to us. Reverend said that when this woman went back home and cleaned the house and cooked better food for the husband, that was the end of the scenario. Love returned back. There are things that it takes the spiritual something to be able to discover that this is where the problem is. So we just be battling with some problem and just something small that is the solution. There is no man that does not like cleanliness. If the woman is dirty, there cannot be love in that family. There cannot be love. You've got to be neat. Yes, keep the house neat. Keep yourself neat. Keep everything neat. And my husband, they kiss me. Who are you that will kiss? When Abraham himself told us in the message that if your husband go to work and is coming back, you know the time is coming back, go and clean yourself. Wear the dress that is fine and wait for him at the door and kiss him. That is not busy. Just go with her. I've been busy since. You run up and down to this one, to the market, to the kitchen, everything, and you are smelling of tomato this way, smelling of this way. You say, you want to come out. You say, no, embrace me. We can't embrace. You are not in order of the word of God. There cannot be love like that. Yes. Look, me, I don't believe in roundabout something. I believe in straight something like this. When you see something direct, you say it direct. Yes. And may the Lord be our help. Alright, let's come back to our message. In order to refresh your minds, I want to point out again how we arrive at finding the names of the messengers to the various ages. God, in his sovereign way, has seen to it that the history of the New Testament church was not lost, even as he saw to it that the history of Israel would not be lost by placing it in the Bible and corroborating it today from multitudes of scrolls, hardened vessels, and other artifacts that archaeologists have discovered and interpreted. Amen. It's God's responsibility to preserve anything that's going to be of use for his children. The Bible gives special blessings to us that the end of the world have come to, because we are privileged to be compassed about with multitudes of witnesses. We come to know of these witnesses by the records. And when we read about them, it does something to us. We know that these people, when they follow like this, this is the way God reacted to them. When they diverted like this, this is the way God reacted. If they come back like this, this is the way God begins to deal with them. Simple. That is practical teaching. It has shown us that if I walk like this, it means that God will walk with me. That's all. Amen. We actually have a running commentary of Bible history from the first page up to now. Thus, by reading history, we can find out what man or men in the various ages were the closest to God's original pattern, the Apostle Paul. The ones that God used to bring his people back to the word of truth will be the ones to examine. Then out of those, there will be one for every age who will stand out the clearest as the closest in word pattern and power. That one will be the messenger. Now, when we were in the Ephesian church age, some of you sisters are sleeping. And I don't want us to look ourselves in the face. So you just do yourself that you shine your face. Because if you decide not to shine your face, we know ourselves. May the Lord be our help. Right. When we were in the Ephesian church age, the prophet told us that without any argument or any doubt, Apostle Paul was proven to be the messenger of that age. Because there are scriptures that vindicated him, that established him as a messenger of that age. And the prophet told us the threefold standard of the ministry that God gave to Paul. And Abraham said that that formed the standard for every age. And he said that in the subsequent ages, whosoever is able to measure closest to that Paul, he said, is the one that will be chosen by God as a messenger of that age. So with that same key is what is now being used to determine the messenger of this second church age, which is Smyrna. You will see now as it progresses. The ages also are found by a study of history. One simply needs to read the ages as found in Revelation, and it all patterns perfectly with history, as indeed it must. Oh my. I wish the Lord will give us understanding. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, when God told John, write this letter to the seven churches which are in Ephesus, in Smyrna, in Pergamos, in Thyatira, in Sardis, in Philadelphia, and in Laodicea. And he also told him about the mystery of the seven stars, and he interpreted it. He said these seven stars are the messengers to the seven church ages. And then he also said the mystery of the seven lamps. He said these ones are the ages. He explained everything in detail. So for people to say that there's not, well, that we cannot help anybody, suffice for us that the Lord will give us revelation. Brother Bram is telling us that when you read the message of each of the church and you pick from the scripture and you look at that very city that is mentioned there, whether Ephesus or Smyrna, and you see the history of the religion and everything of that place, then you are going to understand. He said what is written in the scripture dovetail perfectly with what happened in that city. And then when time now began to unfold, then you are going to see exactly that pattern that will take off. Now the first age, which was Ephesus, that took off in the time of Brother Paul. So it was very easy to identify. But this span ended somewhere when the history will change. The things that God has been talking about Ephesus will just end, and history will now start writing about something that they will find only in the message that pertains to Smyrna. Are you following me? Then you will see Smyrna here. Then that history will continue again, talking about the things, situations that happened in Smyrna. Then it will come, I'm talking of history that people that are historians wrote about the religions of the people and events and lives of people that are happening. Then a time will come that this will also change. It will take, even the people writing themselves, they won't notice it. They are only writing history. But when a prophet comes on the scene with the prophetic eye, with your prophetic eye now, as he's reading, when this thing changes, the anointing will tap in to notice a change here. Then he will see, read the scripture and see as he's reading the histories here, he will just see the reflection of the things that are happening in Smyrna. If the people will actually cool down and follow this explanation of the prophet, they will believe in seven church ages. They don't believe it because they don't want to even know it. When I was in school in 1986, I was just fresh in the message. So I was preaching in the school. So while I was preaching to someone here, there are other students all about. Then a lady was in front, ought to be facing the front. And then she just turned back and was pointing to the book, the sermon book in my hand. I was telling the person I was talking to, I said that, don't be careful of this book. I said, be careful of this book. That because there are heresies, this and that. And I asked her, sister, can I ask you a question? Say yes. Have you ever read any of the book? She said no. Upon what basis are you making your trances? Something you have not read yourself. Something you don't know what is inside. Only what somebody told you. Then you are carrying that one. Now to go and be influencing another one. No wonder Abraham said that there are two things that we are going to be judged in this life at the end of the road. He said what we do in this life and also the way we influence others. He said we are going to give answer to these two when this world comes to an end. Well, I just left at myself. May the Lord be gracious to us. So this like that, till we got to this age. History wrote about everything. It was only this Laodicea church age that Abraham himself was here. And the pillar of fire descended. And even this age, there have been prophecies. Like the prophecy of Charles Price that happened, was it 1916 now? At least 1916. When Brabham was still a baby. Of course, the pillar of fire had already descended. Now when we came this year to April 6th, in the morning of that day, in my personal prayer, I would say, oh God, this day was when the pillar of fire came down to this generation and came over the crib of a little baby. That marked a junction in this world. And that junction cannot be deleted. And I just talked to God about my requests, needs, desires, and the rest of it. Now, this age was prophesied about not only Charles Price, but other people that have spirit of prophecy upon them. Look at, for instance, somebody, a prophecy came out that 40 years to come, a man is going to come to this place by the name of William Branham. William Branham has never been born. Maybe about 20 years back to that time. When he was born, that's when the prophecy had been given. And it was laid there. This 1916 prophecy of Charles Price, I read it myself. I used to have it before, I don't know. When he put all denominations on the scale and put many, many tickets of a sin, he said they are all weighed in the balance and they are all found wanting. And he said that God is going to raise up something fresh, a standard. And if you read that thing exactly, you come and look at the message, it's prophesying about the message. We have class of witnesses depending on predestination to each one and about each one. We determine our revelation of it and we determine what we make out of it. I will determine the destination where we wind it all up. May the bosom of Jehovah be our final destination. The prophet says, Since the church ages were foretold by God, which we have referred to now, and their very conditions revealed. The condition of this minor church age has been revealed by the Spirit and by reading of the history. Brother Abraham knew that at this around year 170 AD. Is it 170? Let me see where the when the. Yeah. Are you, okay, yeah. Yes, 170 AD, that the story changed. And when he read the history or the information or the prophecy or the instruction of God to the angel of Smyrna and what is written there, he began to see it manifested in the histories now that are written here until year 312. When the thing ended again and the thing changed. So reading the history, looking at the scripture, he was able by the Spirit now to know when this age started, when it ended. God has already given him the key to know the messenger of every age. Just all that he has to look at is to read the history of every man of God in every age and see the one that lived closest and his ministry is highest and his belief and nature and everything is closest to Paul in that age, then that is the messenger. Not only that, but Abraham said he got the approval of the Spirit. Since the church ages were foretold by God and their very conditions revealed, then of necessity, the history that will follow will be as the Bible sets forth. It is that simple. But then simplicity is the key to the world. This simplicity of a thing, and may the Lord keep our hearts simple. That is how Abraham preached the message, God hiding in simplicity and revealing himself in the same, before he preached the seeds. Because when we were talking about the seeds, the people begin to raise up their hand to raise up their mind to be expecting something that will be coming like thundering and lightning. The whole building will be shaking and be cracking. And the blizzard will almost come and carry the roof, send it up to 1 kilometer, bring it down, and the rest. That is not the way God works. When God wanted to show himself to David, there were storms. There were this. There were that. God was not in it. Until a still small voice. That is how God reveals himself. Now the prophet said, now with all this, I have not simply been a student and an historian. Abraham is saying, not just that I am a student and a historian, not just that I'm just reading history and I now want to come and be telling you stories. He said, I have sought to be a spiritual minded man, and it was only with the definite approval of the Spirit of God that I chose the man I have chosen. In other words, he never chose any man until the Spirit gave the approval. After he has read the history, after he has read the standard, he has known that, okay, this is Paul, and in this age, these are the men of God that God used. Then he will now check each of them and say which one was now closest. By the time he looked at all this and everything and he chose the person, then he will have to wait for the Spirit to give the approval that yes, it is correct. That is why when he drew the whole thing at the completion of the seventh church age, the pillar of fire went back to draw it there to show to the audience that this drawing that is not just an artist. This is not just an artist drawing something. That this is what me myself get to him. Me, I will believe a man like that. If anybody else is saying something, let them bring their own. Let them bring their own. Let's look at it by the scriptures. Let's weigh it and see God's approval. If there is none, then keep it. May the Lord be our help. This is true as God knows my heart. Amen. That is the introduction to Smyrna Church Age. Now, the messenger. He said, using our God-given rule of choosing the messenger for each age, we unhesitatingly declare that Uranus was exalted by the Lord to that position. Unhesitatingly means without hesitation. We don't need no way to doubt, no way to, I don't know, I'm not a grammarian, so I don't know much of these synonyms of a thing. To break it down. Without hesitation. No reservation. Uranus was elevated by God, approved by God, chosen by God as the messenger of this age of Smyrna. The prophet said, he was the disciple of that great saint and warrior of faith, Polycarp. And it is no doubt, as he sat at the feet of that great man, he learned the Christian graces that flowed from his consecrated life. That's from the consecrated life of Polycarp. For Polycarp was one of the truly illustrious saints of all ages when viewed in the light of a blameless life. Amen. May I say this? It's easy for us now to read and hear about some people that have lived before us. Brother Abraham said that the reason why history is no use now, he said, because nobody will read it. But whether somebody will read it or somebody will not read it, the word of God make it clear unto us that our own history is being written with God. We have records that God is compiling concerning everybody. Let's go ahead first. The prophet said, you will remember from your own reading that Polycarp was martyred, too old to flee, and too sincere a man to follow another, to hide him and then suffer a penalty for doing so. He gave himself up to death. Perhaps if he wanted to be hidden, he would get people that would hide him. He was a respected man. He was a man that lived a blameless life. He was a holy man. He was a man that served God without reservation. He put in his best in God's service. And by this time of persecution, he was too old to flee. No, we wouldn't know his age, whether he was close to 100 at that time. And he just couldn't, run. And then, every natural man, you run from death until death catch you. It's the truth. You run from death until death catch you. Every effort to run from death, you run from death. People that are up to 80 years sometimes, they are still asking for long life. After they have finished the time that God gave to them and they use extra, they are still asking for long life. That is how to tell you that no matter what people know about heaven, say heaven is sweet, it is wonderful. This earth, they still want to enjoy it more. Even though there is no Nepal, even though the roads are bad, even though the vehicles are not fine, even though they have all kinds of problems that we confront, sicknesses and afflictions, people still want to enjoy the place anyhow. The economy is what they still want to enjoy it. You don't hear? When we were about to, the sun service was riding, he had the generator to make, but is he not? So when you say you have generator, it is man-made now. Not only that it gets old. What is happening that he is already getting old. Before you close your eye and open it, he will be telling you that if you don't replace me, one day I will not even answer you at all. Today you service it and change the oil. He is coming to that. He's already giving us signal to think of something else that we should be thinking outside the box. So we should not just sit down and face one direction until everything quenched and we are not able to move forward. Now that we know what is happening, let us find solutions. And there is solutions. People sit down here that know about solutions. Come up with the solution. Tell us the solution and let us move forward with it. If you don't know of it, let me tell you that nowadays in solar inverter people are for those things. If you see the kind of noise we used to face at this hour while we are trying to prepare for service, no be small thing. We cannot, if you want to buy this sealed generator, almost equivalent to buying doing inverter. May the Lord be our help. See everybody quiet. Once you begin to talk anything like that is attached to money, you just see people just quiet. That is this HGC. So, Laodicea, self love. May God have mercy upon us. All right, let's go ahead. Oh, man. Right. But before he did, that's before he gave up himself for death, he asked for and was granted permission to pray 2 hours for his brethren in the Lord. For the governor. For, we say for governor, that's a man that was scriptural. Because 1 Timothy 2 told us to pray for those that are in authority. In our own case, is that we just bless them and talk about them. But do we really pray for them? For governor, for his enemies. How did he pray for his enemies? Did he pray that their aeroplane should enter inside water? Or he asked that fire will consume them? It is this message that we actually call, as simple as that thing is in Matthew, that Jesus put it there in Matthew. Go to almost every denomination, they pray against their enemies. It is only in this message that you come and find that the Spirit of God, through the prophet, direct us to the right attitude to those things. We are to pray for our enemies, not to pray against our enemies. And Abraham even said that the greatest enemy he has is himself. And in the message, all the days of our life, Abraham said that if I ever have any enemy in this world, Abraham was saying that in his prayer. He said, if I have any enemy in this world, he said, forgive us both. Knowing that both of us are striving to enter the kingdom. Because the person that you think is your enemy, he might not do it purposely. Maybe he just didn't get something correct and is looking at something in a direction that whatever. Pray for the person. It is only God that had the perfect information concerning everything and concerning everybody. As we all see that, so what is in our heart is different. But it's only God that knows what is in the heart of everybody. Denomination have created enemies for everybody. The only thing, don't go and maybe pray anywhere. Once you go and pray, they begin to tell you that what I'm looking at an elderly woman. People without mother. Look, may God have mercy upon us. Every elderly woman to them is a wish. The ones in your church, cuckoo kill all of them because they are all wish. Cuckoo kill all of them. We cuckoo know that there's no. Well, you discover that it's not only in old people that used to have evil spirit. Evil spirits are in children. This witchcraft of it, men used to have it. When we were in Bayelsa, walking in Bayelsa, there is a boy, they call him Tangod. The day they drive him away from their village, so, and flog him with a cane from Barantor. When they are flogging, they don't use cane. They don't use cane, they use rod to flog people. They say it's a winch. That's the way they will call it. Say it's a winch. When they will use a really big something like this one, and all of them will gather about maybe 30, 40 people, his leg will not touch ground when he's going. And not so he will pass road inside bush. Winch, everywhere. We are to pray for, if you think you have an enemy, pray for the person. This man, before he died, he asked for 2 hours and they granted it to him. And with those 2 hours, he prayed for his brethren in the Lord, he prayed for the governor, he prayed for his enemies, and also his captors. These same people that catch him, that want to kill him, he prayed for them. The same way Jesus prayed for the people that crucify him, he prayed for them. These are the areas to check the level of our Christianity. Is that when you fall in the hands of somebody, will say, maybe people will call enemies, what will be your thoughts? Will you be thinking that evil should happen to him or her? You are not even thinking of praying now. Thinking. But this is somebody that you have to actually kneel down and first of all say, God, I don't know what I have done that is making these people to hate me like this, to want to kill me. I don't know. But God, have mercy upon them. And have mercy upon me also. This man for 2 hours must have been praying for his brethren who are still standing, that God will help them to stand, to take their stand and stay for the truth and live for God, and so on and so forth. He prayed for the governor that God will help him, that during his own time, plenty evil will not be on record, that God will give him the right wisdom, help him to make the right decisions. He prayed for his enemies. Then he prayed for his captors. After that, when it was true, he told them, I am true. Like the great saints of all ages, this man is not recorded there that he was praying for his own deliverance. Say, God, let them turn away so that they will not kill me again. Which, if he had done that one, it's not sin. He was ready. Now the prophet said, like the great saints of all ages, and desiring a better resurrection, he stood firm, refusing to deny the Lord, and died with a free conscience. He was placed at the stake, untied at his own request, and the fire was lit. The fire bent away from his body. The fire was still honoring the servant of God. The fire was still afraid to burn God's servant. Oh man. But this man carried another fire in his own bosom. Then this is physical fire that was kindled by man. This man kindled fire, still looked at the man of God and bent. Oh man. That shows that somebody can live very close to God until fire can burn from him. May the Lord be gracious unto us. Refusing to touch him, he was then pierced through with a sword. See, when you talk about serpent seeds, how people doesn't believe in serpent seeds, it's because they don't understand anything. When these same people that caught him and see the holiness and everything that have been there, and they see this man pray for 2 hours thereafter and surrender himself to be killed, and even at that time, when they put fire, he says, you don't need to tie me, I'm not running anywhere. You don't need to tie me. I will stay here, anything, burning, whatever, I'm here. And they know that even for his age, he can't run anything. He can't run. And they put the fire. Beep! The thing started. And the fire burned. If there is anything inside of them, that's the time they're supposed to say that, I beg, we cannot kill this one. But that is the time that they actually confirm that they are serpent seed. This is a man that I've just prayed for mercy for them. He was then pierced through with a sword. As this was done, water gushed from his side, drowning the flame. Even the water see nowhere to go. The water see drowned the flame. The fire was not ready to burn him, whether alive or dead. His spirit was actually seen to depart in the form of a white dove released from his bosom. You know, I believe that this, the historian that put down this thing that Brother Abraham read, whether it be believer or not believer, we don't know. Brother Abraham said, he was talking about laying hands on the sick for God to prove scientifically that the scripture is true and that it is God's instruction and that God does it through it. Brother Abraham said that they took some photograph when some men were praying over the sick, and they saw in the hand of maybe like one of them or so that a radiating light like this was under his hand, radiating to the body of the one that was sick, that was being prayed for. God allowed that to be seen to prove the scripture, that the scripture is true. So as he did with the case of this man, these are the things that we gather together to condemn these ones on the day of judgment. And there is nobody that will ever go to hell that there will not be things that will condemn them. Things that God have shown them that this thing is not possible outside of me. This thing cannot be done outside of me. And human beings will turn their eyes away from that one. Then, those ones at the day of judgment, they will have something to contend with. Amen. Yet, for all this great testimony, this student of John the Revelator was not militant against the Nicolaitan system. This is why he was not picked as a messenger. For he himself leaned toward organization, not realizing that the desire for fellowship and what appeared like a good plan to foster the work of God was really a trick of the enemy. That's the beginning of this let us fellowship together. This World Council of Churches in the infancy. Let us togetherness. He wasn't able to discern it at that time, but Uranus did. John, that wrote the book of Revelation, it was under him that Polycarp rose up. And it was under Polycarp that Uranus rose up. Now, let's listen. With Uranus, this was not so. He was militant against any form of organization. Also, his life history, wherein he served the Lord, was one of much manifestation in the Holy Spirit. And the word was taught with unusual clarity and conformity to his original precepts. Amen. Uranus was the one that taught very clear, sound truth, gospel, close to Paul in his own time. He was distinct, he was able to discern organizational spirit, and he turned his back to them Every advancement of denominational union, it did not support it. Now the prophet said, his churches in France were known to have the gifts of the Spirit among them. Abraham said, the word first, the Spirit will follow. Let me tell you, as long as we are staying with the word, the gifts will manifest. I would do tell you, like one time when we were saying that, you know, Abraham said that you can't have tongues. You cannot have prophecies if you don't have the spirit of discernment. Which means that from the spirit of wisdom to discernment, they must first of all be in the body before these others arrive. The what is causing trouble is that those ones did not come first. It's the last one that are coming first into the people. That's what is causing the whole thing upside down. Let's open to Corinthians. Is it 1 Corinthians 13 also? Or 12? 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 12. From verse... let me see. Yeah, from verse 8. We have the spirit of the word of wisdom in verse 8. And also the word of knowledge, making two. Number 3, faith. Then, that's in verse 9. Then, number 4, in the same verse 9, gift of healing. Then, next to that is working of miracles. That's number 5. Then, number 6 is prophecy. And discerning of spirit, number 7. And tongues, number 8. Then, interpretation of tongues. But Abraham said, the least of the gifts is tongues that was given to denominations and the faith. They were tried, because they are the ones seeking the gift, they did not seek the giver. Then they were given the least one to just try them, they failed. Because they don't have the word of wisdom, they don't have the word of knowledge, they don't have discernment, they don't have all those other gifts to be able to guide them on how to continue to serve. So the people are believing or they are expecting that the first thing that will start is tongues. If tongues start without discernment, without wisdom, without knowledge, we are going to handle it off the world. We are going to be accepting every tongue that comes as being from God. Because we will not have what we can use to judge it by God's word. And perhaps the people that God ordained to use for that, maybe their vessels are not even ready now. Abraham told us the reason why God does not permit the gifts to go out anyhow. He said, if God permits the gift anyhow, there are people that the thing that God has caused, they will be putting blessing on it. That is why he told us there is a difference between compassion and human sympathy. Human sympathy, it is you sympathize with your fellow man. You feel for him. But he said compassion is doing the will of God. That is why you search the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. You will never see God using the word sympathy. You go and search your own Bible. But when God was talking, he said, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. He didn't say I will have sympathy on whom I will have sympathy. It's not written in the word of God. That compassion is doing the will of God. When the will of God is to thrash a child and thrash him in correction, that is the will of God. That is compassion. But when the child is saying, he, or people are saying, don't beat him, don't you see the way he's crying? That is human sympathy. And the child will rot it and disgrace himself and disgrace the parent. Amen. His churches in France were known to have the gifts of the Spirit among them, for the saints spoke in tongues, prophesied, raised the dead, and healed the sick by the prayer of faith. He saw the danger of any kind of organized brotherhood among the elders, pastors. Now, I wanted to say something before, lest I forget. I'm not running from anything. By the authority of the Word of God, I am convinced and I know that part of the gifts, we have them here. By the authority of the Word of God, and by practical testimonies, we have part of the gifts in operation. But the ones that people are expecting is tongues and prophecy and things like that one. And even when that has not come, may I ask you, what is really lacking? God has been taking care of every situation. While we are waiting, not that we will be complacent and say because we are. No. It is a promise of God. That is why it is part of what we pray on every Wednesday. And that thing that we compile there is to give everybody an example of what you are to be praying on in your homes when you are to pray yourself. So we believe everything. Most of all these manifestations we hear here and there is flawed with all kinds of things that we don't want to have with us. Tony Brown said, if you don't have the genuine, he said, I prefer not to have at all. He said, I prefer not to have at all than to have the counterfeit. He said, because the counterfeit can do more harm than good. With these same gifts, we have seen husband and wife separated in this message. In this message, with the same gifts. We have had Paul said the Lord several times that fall to the ground. And that is contrary to the word of God. Abraham told us that if a man will say that one, putting his thoughts to it, he said, we'll go to hell for it. Because you are saying that God is a liar. You are bringing God lower than a responsible human being. Because a responsible human being will not lie. A man of reputation will not tell lies. So by the time you are saying God said and God did not say, which means that you are lowering God lower than a responsible man. May God be gracious to us. We will wait until we see realities. When we see realities, we will thank God for realities. And by the way, looking at the scriptures, because some people have the idea that we are killing the gifts. You show me one time that one gift come up and we carry gun and shot it. Because I don't understand that language. And you cannot kill any gift if it's from God. Because the Bible is the pattern. God is the one that used to announce his own gift anywhere it is found. When Daniel was in Babylon, it was God announcing. He caused situation to happen. When the situation happened, they have to look for Daniel. Was he the one advertising himself? Say, I'm a prophet. Say, I can see vision. I can interpret dreams. Was he the one advertising himself? He was not the one. It was God that advertised him. What about Joseph? When Joseph was in Egypt, they didn't see anything more than somebody that should go and rot in jail. That's why they threw him. But as long as he's carrying God's gift, you can hide it. You can hide it. God will create situations. He will create situations that will make you to go and bring out that gift. As long as it is his own gift, you can hide it. It's because some of our people lack understanding. This is happening so please. Yeah, what is happening there? Make we see. Nothing is happening anywhere. May the Lord be our help. is too solidly for a unified, spirit-filled, gift-manifesting local church. And God honored him for the power of God manifested among the saints. Before I go further, something come up in my mind again. Amen. Now, this gift that I read, dream is not even there at all. Nevertheless, gift is a medium by which God communicates with people. But the prophet also makes us to know that Satan also uses the same avenue. He said this dreaming is secondary. And he downloaded details about dreams to us. Number one, he told us that there are plain dreams and there are symbolic dreams. He said, God does not deal with people in symbolic dreams if there is no vindicated prophet on the land that can interpret it. Number two, he said, if there is anyone that have this gift of interpretation, go and read the message, blasphemous name. Brabham said that the person will see the dream in a vision. He said, that is how dreams are interpreted. Somebody may go to the scripture and say, for so place, but the person was the one that narrated the dream. For sure. People also used to narrate their dreams to Brabham. There's nothing wrong in you narrating your dream. If you are dealing with a vindicated prophet, the only thing vindicated prophet will do is that he will see it if you have said everything exactly. He doesn't need to make any comment there. And God wanted your dream, it's a spiritual dream, wanted it to be interpreted. As God showed it to him like this, he will just give you the interpretation. But if it is not a spiritual dream, he won't say nothing about it. He said, many of you have given me dreams that by God's grace I have been able to interpret. He said, and many have brought dreams that I was not able to interpret. But if you check some of our people that carry gifts, almost every dream has interpretation. When you talk about climbing tree, say that one is higher height, it's higher ground. You never know whether you fall from that tree. May God deliver us from every evil. If it's a plain dream, it could be, plain dream could still be spiritual dream or non-spiritual dream. When we say spiritual, it means that it is God that is sending an information. If it is non-spiritual dream, Abraham said, some can come as a sort of sickness. Are you with me? He said, some can come as a sort of what you have been meditating on. All this one, because the Bible told us that dream come from a multitude of business, Ecclesiastes. From multitude of business. What your mind has been occupied on, what you have been looking at, what you have been reading, what you have been listening to, it can produce a dream. If you also overeat because the soup is sweet, you can also dream. Begin to see yourself roll from one side to the other one. It's overfeeding. May God have mercy upon us. What is your issue, Lord? So, let's continue. He was also clear on his understanding of the Godhead. We are talking about Uranus. These are some of the things that qualify him as a messenger. And of course, as we have heard the prophet, he said he never concluded that this is the messenger until the Spirit gave the approval. After the history have located him, then he will look up unto God. Is this him? Then God will tick and say, yes, that is the person I have chosen. And since he was the disciple of Polycarp, who in turn was the disciple of St. John, we can know for sure he had as perfect teaching as is possible on this subject. In volume 1, page 412 of the Antinician Fathers, we have this statement by him on the Godhead. That is, this is by Irenaeus now. Say, all the other expressions likewise bring out the title of one and the same being, the Lord of power, the Lord, the Father of all, God Almighty, Most High, Creator, Maker, and such like. These are not the names and the titles of a succession of different beings, but of one and the same. This is the revelation that Irenaeus had about Godhead. All those titles, just like Abraham had it also when we were treating chapter 1 of this book, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's also how this man also had the same revelation also in his own time. That is what gave him pass man also, apart from his stand against denomination. He pointed out clearly that these are but titles as his rose of Sharon, bright and morning star, fearless of 10,000, etc. There is there but neither is there but one God. His name is Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thus, with his strict adherence to the word, his wonderful understanding of Scripture, and the attendance of the power of God upon that ministry, he is the right choice for the age. It is altogether unfortunate that the other ages did not have in their messengers such a balance of fruit, power, and leadership in the Holy Spirit and the world. Which means that Irenaeus really was next to Brother Paul. Higher than these other messengers by this statement of the prophet. Do you follow me? Amen. I don't know if we're able to quickly do the city of Smyrna. The city of Smyrna was a little north of Ephesus at the mouth of the Smyrna Gulf. Because of its very fine harbor, it was a commercial center renowned for its exports. It was also distinguished for its schools of rhetoric, philosophy, medicine, sciences, and fine buildings. Many Jews lived there, and they were bitterly opposed to Christianity, even more so than were the Romans. Now, this Jewish religion, they are the one that even hated Jesus most, because they saw somebody coming up among them trying to oppose what they think is the religious of the fathers. That is what Brother Paul, when he came up, he said that in zeal I was persecuting the church. Say, when you talk of, he said, I was above my many equals. He was really zealous. He said, and he was mad. That's his own word. He was mad. Again, what kind of a thing is this one? Brother Brown said that Saul make up his mind that this move, if it is not of God, we must put a stop to it. And he was not just quiet and just sitting there. No, he was on the move. And he entered to go and collect letter of authority. That this thing, we must fight it to a standstill. That journey to Damascus was a determined journey. He has already done havoc in Jerusalem. But now on his way to Damascus, these Damascus people, in fact, if the people didn't know he was coming, maybe they would have, before he even get to that place, many of them would have vamoosed. The name of Saul that time was almost like the name of Samson of old, when Philistines would hear it. Even prophet Ananias, when God even appeared to him, I was mentioning the name of Saul. He said, I didn't hear again. Which Saul do you call it? Saul of where? Because they're of Tarsus. He said, God, make I tell you something. Maybe there's a current news you have not read. You see, this man that is Saul of Tarsus, the news we have had is that every saint that is in this way is after them. And if he, that journey you are talking about is so on his way to come, is for us, is coming. God said, all those ones, just go your way. He is a chosen vessel. Go your way, he is a chosen vessel. I will show him how much we have to suffer for my name's sake. You want to bring information to God? He doesn't know the current news. What news do you have that God doesn't have? God that knew the last news that we ever happened on this earth, that the person that write it was not born yet, that know all those news. You want to be telling the current news? He know all the current news. Don't worry, just go your way. Go and do what I ask you to do. By the time he heard what God said, when he got there, he said, Brother Saul. Say, Brother Saul. Because the man was already in spiritual chain. He was already under arrest. Saul was arrested on his way to Damascus. That is actually when he became a prisoner. Because he's a man that go at will before. But from that spot where he was smitten to the ground, that's when he began to ask the question, what must I do? From that time on, he never do anything again until God say, go this way. What must I do? That's when he actually enter that prison yard of the Almighty God. What must I do? And someone is not a Christian yet until you get to that spot. That God, what must I do? Don't wait until you face the pillar of fire that will be telling you like so, because he put his eyes out. Throughout his lifetime, the eye was never balanced. He had eye trouble, all is this. Before he was born, formed in his mother's womb, he was already an elect. But he come up and God mixed up in the wrong group and begin to persecute the very thing that he's supposed to defend. He didn't catch the revelation in the right thing on time until God had to face. He said, okay, you want us to enter fight? Okay, now join me in the ring. Come to the ring. Let us exchange them. So it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. So you won't look me in the face. You won't know who you are persecuting. So all those ones you are doing in Jerusalem, you don't know who you are persecuting. You don't know who those people resemble. You don't know that they are my chosen people. Have you not seen my reflection in their life? So you want to know who is it that you are persecuting? Then let us exchange fight them. Let's look at ourselves in his face. When he was smitten to the ground, blinded, nothing, he said, Lord, what must I do? That is when all his strength finished. He wouldn't know where he threw away the letter he collected. From that time, they have to now lead him by the hand. To say, continue to the city. He said, you'll be told there what you have to do. If God had told him to go back, he would have gone back. Because he asked God, what must I do? Now, I surrender myself now. But just tell me now what to do from here on. He said, okay, you continue to the city. When you get there, you will be told what to do. And that is actually Christianity. Somebody that gets to a spot that you are told by God, that you are told by God's word what to do. That is when you are a Christian. That is when you are a servant of Christ. That is when you are a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But when you are the one that make your decision, when you are the one that take your own step, you are not yet a prisoner. You decide what to believe and what not to believe. You are not a prisoner yet. May the Lord be our help. The prophet said, in fact, Polycarp, the first bishop of Smyrna, was martyred by the Jews, and it is said that the Jews desecrated their holy day, Saturday, to carry the wood that would make his funeral pyre. The word Smyrna means bitter. Being derived from the word mara, Man was used in embalming the dead. Thus, we have a twofold significance found in the name of this age. It was a bitter age filled with death. The two vines within the framework of the church were drifting further apart with an increased bitterness toward the true vine on the part of the false. May evil anointing not fall upon us. See, this message of the hour, it is either God walk upon somebody with it and he become mellow and submissive and goes with it, or you become an enemy to it. Naturally, the people that used to turn to be an enemy to it, they don't intend to. But if you check it by the scripture, it's an anointing. 2017 convention, the white man that came and preached to us, Brother Tim Humes, who has pastored the church at is it Connecticut or something like that, is a church where it is for or South Carolina or North Carolina for about 30 years. Who even said it was Abraham that dedicated him? Who talked about what his parents were, this, that, and all the stories he said. And how he, whatever. Then, he was trying to, at that time, trying to let us turn our eyes away from the person of the prophet, and also to make us to know that Abraham is not the only one that have the absolute truth in this generation. He was not straightforward, but we are following him very closely. But since Bramerion did justice to it, then there is nothing to do again. Because he just came the service, which was the morning of the last main day, and preached the atoning power. And that blew the teeth. When we were going to Lagos, because I took all of them, both Tim Humes, Bra Tim, and Bra Van Dodo, I was the one that drove them to the airport. Come and see, fusee almost in the vehicle. He said, what is it that I have this and that? You could do get cooperation. Bra Marion didn't talk. He just looked. He just preached finish anyhow. And I dropped the bullet, he had dropped it. After that, he didn't mention his name. If what he was trying to present in that sermon is that the thing that God gives to his children to combat the enemy is the word. You allow anybody to collect that weapon from you, you are defeated. Then he tried to position this age and how God has lined at the rest of it. And then it was the picture was clear. Then he put it in there, ma'am. And the man was not just it was just one or two statements Brad Tim dropped in his own that also was part of that one. Brad Tim in his own sermon when he was preaching, said that if you don't want me to say, Brother Abraham said, who will I say said? Said, are you the one who say said? No, we look, let 10 people preach. We can put their things and gather them together and know where all of them are going. You want to use carefulness to slaughter something, we follow you. If you don't want to disgrace you, we just allow. But if we want to finish you and rubbish you on the ground, you will regret that you ever come there to preach. I'm telling you. We have followed this. Look at this Bible by the grace of God from kiva to kiva. Because of the message of the hour, Abraham said that when the seats were opened, the Bible became a new book. You can be in seminary for 20 years. Come out with this Bible and come and prove something. There's a brother that told me recently he believed in polygamy. He said that job your father. So I asked him some questions. After all that, he said he will come and I said, well, Brother Brown told us, because if you read marriage and divorce, if God doesn't help you, you will see polygamy. But Brother Abraham told us there is a key to that sermon. He told us that this is what happened in the beginning. Then he said, after the beginning, then the fall. And it was this fall that brought in polygamy, both in beasts and animals. I mean human beings. Everything. Polygamy. Then he was using the case of Solomon and David to type Jesus Christ and the bride. That's actually the very reason why he brought in that. And he didn't say it only in marriage and divorce, he said it in some other sermons. But when he was closing that sermon, he said that what wasn't so in the beginning will never be so at the end. That is what cancels this in between. What happened during the fall? So the end, what is operational at the beginning is what will be operational at the end. I say, that is one. May I ask you, when you are going to take that second person, which ritual will be read? Because for the first one, he say you will forsake all others and cleave only unto her as long as you both live. As long as you both live. Is he saying, come and discuss with me? Okay, come now. It's a waste of saliva. You can't climb over that one. When Abraham told us in choosing of a bride, he said, if you get married to somebody that is not fit to be your husband or your wife, he said, it's your fault. He said, remember that the vow is, until death do you part. If there is provision for multiple, then there will not be, all those things doesn't need to be stressed. Know that you have more opportunity, like Muslims. If Yale no do well, you get Yahweh now, you give Yale one room in that place, then you stay with the Yahweh who will do you better. This one not do again, you push out one room, you carry another one, put it in. There will be more fight. That's the Muslim something. You mean that we, the bride of Christ, will be sharing the same dirty with Muslims? What? Where will somebody bring such a dirty? May God have mercy upon us. When he come, I will tell him that this is your explanation is going to be a futility. Because with what I have told you, then if you leave all this one out, the final question is that where is the example? Show me one example. New Testament or in the message? By William Brown, that Abraham blessed or that he referred to from after this marriage and divorce down, you show me now one example. Then I know you are talking something. It's not there. Theory, practical, it doesn't pass. But this adage that Yoruba have, I'm sorry, it's because I'm a Yoruba, that's why I know Yoruba is more. If I belong to another language, I will also use their own language. You see, those adage is used to explain things deeper. Yoruba said that a dog that will be lost will never hear the whistle of the hunter. I've explained that thing here before, I think I do. Because it is not everybody. I can bet that 99% of people that have made that party, they don't know the meaning. God give a virtue to a dog to be able to locate, trace his way back. And that is the urine. That's a special odor. If a dog will from here travel to Sango, as it reaches every junction, it will drop a chink, small urine. It moves straight when it's to turn again. Shing. It moves straight again when it's to turn. Shing. When he has accomplished his mission and is to come back, at every junction, he will go and perceive his odor. When he perceives the odor of that urine, that is the road. That is the road. That's how we trace back to where he took off from. But the reason why the hunter used to blow the whistle for the dog to come back is because there is something beyond his own intellect. When the other look at the sky that is black with rain, when everything pour down, it will kill all the odor of all the urine that the dog drew. He will never be able to trace his way. But some dog, because they are pursuing one animal, say, anyhow, I must kill this animal. Whatever will happen, I must follow it. Whatever, if I be lost, let me be lost. That's why we go until every day we pour. When he now thought that he has killed animal or whatever, or is convinced that the animal is gone, he can't trace his way back. Because the odor is already killed by the rain. Then he cannot know his way. Those are the dogs that used to normally become wild dogs. In the bush. This message of the hour is very simple. But we need revelation to follow it. Don't follow what if you get to a junction and something is not clear. Lock up yourself in the room and say, God, I am your child. Talk to me. Forget about what you read in this. Forget about what you hear in this. Forget about what somebody said. Kneel down yourself and call upon your maker. And say, God, speak to me. I am confused at this junction. They said this, they said this, they said this, and they said this one. But this is the way my thinking is going. What is the truth? Make me to know the truth. If you are honest and sincere, God will appear to you. Yes, sir. All opinions and ideas of man will just fade away. May the Lord be our help. I don't know whether we'll finish this aspect. So let me see if I can. If not, finish it some other day. All right. Oh, man. Now the prophet said, it was a bitter age filled with death. The two vines within the framework of the church were drifting further apart with an increased bitterness toward the true vine on the path of the false. Death was not only the seed of the false vine, but even the true vine, there was a creeping paralysis and impotence because they had already drifted from the unadulterated truth of the first few years after Pentecost. When you drift from the truth, when you drift from the standard, you become spiritually paralyzed. And the prophet went further to say, he said, and no true believer is any stronger or spiritually healthy and alive than his knowledge of and adherence to the pure word of God. This used to be my special quote. There is no true believer that is ever with any stronger or spiritually healthy and alive than his knowledge of and adherence to the pure word of God. In other words, or in a reverse case, your spiritual strength and health is determined by your knowledge of God's word and the adherence to the same. That determines your spiritual strength and health. If you don't read it, you cannot know it. If you don't hear it, how many people listen to the tape on Friday? All right. I tell you. That tape, oh mercy. You can't listen to that and be the same with somebody who doesn't hear it. If not every day, that day you sleep different. And that is how it is. Now imagine somebody now that listens to one per day. How it will be. The very anointing you will get when you are reading the scriptures is only when you are hearing the message that you get that same anointing. Go and carry another book in the world and read it. You see how the anointing will be as dead as midnight. When Israel, as seen by multitudes of examples in the Old Testament, organization was growing apace, confirming and augmenting the death of the membership, for Holy Ghost leadership was deposed, and the word was replaced by creeds, dogmas, and man-made rituals. When Israel entered into unlawful alliances with the world and formed fellowship by marriage, the day finally came when the world took over and Babylon carried away the people of God into captivity. Now when they went into captivity, they went in having a priesthood, a temple, and the world. When they were going to captivity, those are the things they were having. Because that is what God set in order before. A priesthood, a temple, and the world. But when they came back, they had rabbis and a theological order of Pharisees, a synagogue, and a Talmud. That's what they come back with. Because they have left the world and the world have left them. When you leave God, God will leave you. God said, draw nigh to me, I too will draw nigh to you. That's the key. You draw nigh to me, I will also draw nigh to you. You draw away from me, I will also leave you. And when Jesus came, they were so corrupt that they called them of their father, that he called them of their father the devil. And this, in spite of the fact they were of Abraham according to the flesh. In this day, we see the same thing happening. However, as all Israel is not Israel, but a little group were the true spiritual Israelites, so there will always be a little group of true Christians, the bride of Christ, until he came for his own. Amen. That's wonderful. Let's read this last paragraph. In this city, there were two famous temples. One was the temple erected to the worship of Zeus, and the other was erected to Cybele. And between these two temples was found the most beautiful road of ancient times called the Golden Street. To me, this depicts a further inroad of paganism that had already started in the first age, but was known to exist only at Rome. The journey of the two temples of a god and goddess is the seed of Mariolatry, wherein Mary is called the mother of God and receives honor and titles and powers, giving her a co-equality with Jesus Christ. How terrible something. You know, if you look at the belief of Catholic Church, there is a particular year, I used to have that printout, when they adopted each doctrine. Now it's several of them, hundreds now. But as here, they brought in each of them, brought in each of them, brought in each of them. But here, the prophet is saying, this was brought in Smyrna church age, Mariolatry, when they are now worshipping Zeus and Cybele. And they are making Mary co-equal to Jesus Christ. No wonder Catholic Church say, Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. The golden street that joins them is a picture of the greed that caused the Nicolaitan organizers to join state and church, because they knew the wealth and power it offered them. As the Ephesian age was but the seedbed for the tragic Pergamian age that was yet in the future, this Smyrna age was the rain, the sun, and the nourishment that ensured the vile corruption that will confirm the church in idolatry, which is spiritual fornication, from which she would never rise. Death was permeating her root to branch, and they that partook of her partook of bitterness and death. This age lasted from 170 to 312 A.D. The city of Smyrna. The reason why Abraham talks about this city is because this city, its name, its meaning, that means bitter. is to tell us what this age of Smyrna is going to experience. Because the meaning of the name of each age is a prophecy of what the age itself, for so number of years, is going to experience. That's why that age was filled with bitterness and death. And this is actually the full beginning, gaining advance of all this idol worship, erection of temples unto Zeus and Cybele, and the way they do. In the future ages, you will see these things advanced. That is how Satan, once you enter small, he begins to spread his tentacle. And may the Lord be gracious to us. These are just a little scratch, beginning of the age of Smyrna. God helping us, another opportunity, we'll look at the salutation and then the condition of the age of Smyrna. Shall we rise up on our feet? For there is coming a day when no artist shall come. What a day that will be. 204.
Oh, day is coming, and that very soon, when the history of this life will come to an end, and we all assemble at his feet with those that are before us, and all this will turn to testimony. This is the time where we have to put forth everything that we are in his service. Because after now, we won't have another opportunity. Brother Abraham said, the only regret I have is that I don't have another life to give. When he was around 50, he thought he has wasted most of the time he ought to use to serve the Lord. With the opportunity that we have now, what will you desire to do for him? How will you want to yield yourself to him? Hearing about men like Polycarp, men like Iranios, people that serve without reservation, people that give in their lives unto the Lord. They never withhold nothing from God's service. Until even fire was afraid to burn them. What a person. What a life. We have the privilege now. We have the opportunity now. When our life is still within us, when our breath is still within our body, when the owner of this life has not yet said, come home, won't you yield everything unto him? Young ones, when we were in school, we testified. The school that we went to knew that somebody passed this way that believed a strange message. It's there on record. The places where we walked, it's there on record that they knew that some person come to work in this place that believes something. But when they want something decent, they look for us. When they want something truthful, they look for us. When they want somebody to do something diligently, they look for us. Because they know that this guy, even though his doctrine is straight, but when it comes to work, he does it diligently. And they never knew. It is his strange doctrines, it is his strange belief, so to say, that brought such a life. What will you give to him? We want to remember the prayer. Does anyone have a request in his or her heart that would love to be remembered in prayer while we bow our heads? Only God knows exactly. Beside we, he knows our heart. Raising hand does not mean that one is a sinner, but it just means that, Lord, I surrender unto you that I cannot do it by myself. My life is in your hand. Help me, be gracious to me. Don't pass me by. While you are working on your people, making them ready for the rapture, don't leave me behind. Don't let the anointing of your presence be in vain in my life. The greatest we accomplish in this generation, don't let it be in vain in my life. Don't let it be a condemnation unto me, but let it be a testimony. Let me join the saints at that time to testify that, God, I thank you that I passed through this age. I thank you that you opened my eyes. I thank you that you counted me worthy to be among the number. I come to give thanks. Gracious eternal Father, if we have 1,000 tongues, it's not enough to give praise and adoration unto you. We thank you very much for the fellowship that we have had around your word. Master Jesus, we are talking, oh God, about the age that is past, and men and women that have lived before us. Oh God of mercy, especially those who are your own children, the saints. We look at their life. We look at your testimony about them. Oh Master, and these are historians that wrote these things down. We don't even know whether those historians are believers or not believers. Just like a sinner was the one that took the picture of the pillar of fire. Dear God, God, we thank you that these are written for our admonition, written for our encouragement, written to help us, oh God, to be able to know how to brace up and to trust you for more grace. Master, we appreciate you. Thank you for a man like Polycarp. Thank you for a man like Iranius. Thank you for the saints in that generation. We appreciate you for them. This is our time, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray you will help us. Be gracious unto us. Be our strength. Give us more revelation. Oh God, every shackles of the enemy with this age of Laodicea, may you deliver from them all, Lord. We ask, O God, that will be your grace and your anointing that will guide our feet, that will motivate us, O Father. Lord, that will determine what we do, O God, on a daily basis. Help us to completely yield ourselves unto you, as Saul of Tarsus did on the road to Damascus, that we might say, what will you have us to do, O God? Help us, Heavenly Father. We have needs and desires. Hands are lifted up all over the audience. I pray, Almighty God, you that spoke to us through your prophet, that when hands are lifted up like this, that your angels come down to take the request down. Lord Jesus, take every request down and attend to them, Heavenly Father, and turn them to testimony. And may your angel that will take down the record, Lord, follow each one to their neighborhood and confirm to them their desires and confirm to them their requests. Let it be, Heavenly Father. Drive away from us every doubt and unbelief, Lord. May we keep believing, dear Father. May we have expectation in our heart that it shall be well. Let it be, Heavenly Father. Heal every sick and afflicted, Lord. May the power of your presence drive away every gloominess, O Father. Every unbelief, may the fire of God consume them all, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Lord, we are grateful unto you. Those at the altar, whatsoever brought them there, may you grant unto them, Father. May your name be glorified. Thank you, King of glory. Lord, after a while, we will see assemble back for another service. We pray, dear God of heaven, that Lord, you that blessed us in the Sunday school and that blessed us this morning, come once again and pour forth your blessings unto us. As your prophet has said, in the evening time, you do special things. Do special things for us, Heavenly Father. Thank you, King of glory. Blessed be your wonderful name for granting our petition. Because you ask them with faith and thanksgiving in the name of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. By 2 o'clock, we'll be back again for another service. Those who are seated, could please rise as we dismiss. When I think of heaven, oh, I can hardly wait. Oh, see my brand new mansion beside the pearly gate.
Inside the belly gate.